This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report. Backed by popular demand, we have a distinguished civic leader in Western New York State with us, Michael J. Bellani, one of the top people in public relations work in upstate New York. I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Since 1999, Michael Bellani has served as president and chief operating officer of Bellani Associates, specializing in communications, rainmaking, and publishing. Mike Bellani is also connected to the Western New York community as a longtime Rotary Club member, a Recovery Options Made Easy and Boss Because Foundation board member, and a volunteer at several organizations and churches, including his primary philanthropic entity, St. Luke's Mission of Mercy on the far east side of Buffalo. Before we came in to do the taping, we were talking about his late wife, who died tragically at a very young age recently. And I'd like to dedicate this program to Debbie Bellani, who did so much in the community. She did a great job when she was at the International Institute, a very fine accountant and gifted person with finance and charity. So let's first talk about your late wife and where people can make donations in her memory. Mike Bellani.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. A pleasure to be back with you, and thank you for the tribute to my bride, Debbie. She sadly passed on August 22nd at the very young age of 58. She struggled, and I'm now at peace knowing that she is at peace. And she was a very spiritual person, had great belief, but also a very hard worker, and as you know, a wonderful accountant, tax preparer for EG Tax, and during this time of the year, and sadly just left us way too soon. So what we did in her honor is we created a fund at our favorite charity is St. Luke's Mission of Mercy, and we created called the Debbie's Food Fund. Ironically, she wanted to go there and serve as a missionary before she got sick at the end of her life. And what the Food Fund does, what St. Luke's, it's been around for 31 years on Sycamore Street on the east side of Buffalo, and they provide free meals every day from 11 to 1 to anyone who needs it. And the need is so great that they're providing over 1,000 meals a day.
Wow.
Their budget of that is about $1.5 million. And Debbie was going to go there and help them, maybe bring that number down a little bit with her finance background. So we've created the Debbie's Food Fund, and any funds that anyone would like to make in her honor, just visit St. St. Luke's, L-U-K-E-S, missionofmercy.org, and just put Debbie's Food Fund, and any donation would be greatly appreciated. So thank you, Brian.
Yeah, give a plug again where to send the checks, please.
St. St. L-U-K-E-S, M-I-S-I-O-N, of Mercy, M-E-R-C-Y .org, and just hit donate now, and you could make your donation of any amount to Debbie's food fund.
We urge all our listeners, the Rusk Report, if you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Washington, D.C., or Montreal, send a donation. Debbie was a wonderful woman. Her memory will last forever, and we admire Michael for perpetuating her very, very fine legacy. Debbie Bellani, a very fine woman. I had the pleasure of working with her years ago at the International Institute. Very dedicated, honest, decent, capable woman. And she will remember very fondly. Let's talk about another tough situation that you went through. You almost died in a near-fatal bike accident. You were in the hospital for a long time. And you never forget that date, September 17th, 1992. Did you grow? Did you learn? Did you renew your faith in God as a result of this? Mike Bellani.
I don't really think I had to renew it. It was pretty strong to begin with. And my mom, who was an extremely spiritual person, had the minute that they found out that I was being rushed from Canada to ECMC with a life-threatening injuries from being hit by a drunk driver traveling 60 miles an hour, and I was on a bicycle, and by the grace of God, I had a bicycle helmet on, which was very rare back then. She began what became a worldwide prayer chain. So I think that definitely the power of prayer saved my life. And it was an interesting experience as I, went through 17 hours of trauma surgery, lived in ECMC for 44 days, and then years of physical therapy after that. So it really brought me back to my faith of, there must be a reason that, God is keeping me around here. And I think I found that reason that it's to really use the tools he gave me to, help others and to use the power that I have of the ability I have to write to, bring hope and inspiration to others. And really, that's what I'm doing in a book that I'm writing about it.
Let's talk more about this book. When will it be coming out? What is going to be the message? Is there going to be a spiritual component in this book? Tell us more about this book coming out.
Well, sadly, I was when I got thrown from this bike and slid into a metal news box on Point Abino Road in southern Ontario. One of the many injuries I had was what they initially called a slight fractured skull. Well, the helmet went right into my forehead, causing a major gash and a lot of stitches. So obviously the brain was rattled a bit. And I failed to really heed the advice of the doctors and take all of 1993 off. And they said, if you don't, you'll pay a price. And certainly it was a steep price because about 2 years later, after going through a lot of psychological issues during those 2 years, including bouts of depression that I didn't even know what that meant, it became a near nervous breakdown that the psychiatrist, after they did the neurological tests and all that, detected it as a... what he called a bipolar disorder. And when I said, well, what is that? And he said, a mental illness. I immediately said to myself, I will never tell anyone I've got a mental illness because of that word mental. I'm not mental. And that's the problem with the stigmas associated with mental health, mental illness, is the terminology. People don't want to be branded. And, that's why in 2010 they eliminated the terminology of mental retardation. When they say sticks and stones, will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me, I disagree with that. I think words hurt people a lot more than, physically getting punched. So 10 years ago, when you have depression or any type of an illness to the brain, if you're not following the doctor's orders, taking medication, seeing the doctors, it will come back and hurt you. And mine did. It was like a PTSD. Someone said the wrong thing. So I got in my car and I went to the thruway and stood on the side of the road and waited for the next tractor trailer. And I was going to throw my hat in the road and see who would win, that fight. And luckily, a truck from a place I was working at, he recognized me and he literally pulled over and jumped out and said, Mike, you got car trouble. So without answering, I looked up and said, all right, God, now what? And at that point, he said, use the tools I gave you to help end the stigmas of mental health. So that's what the book is about. It's called My Miracle, How the Power of Prayer Saved My Life. And the goal of it is to help end the stigmas associated with it, but more important, to bring hope and inspiration to others that are suffering. And as you know, Brian, you've worked with the Restoration Society. You know people that have been in this situation in life. It's not a life sentence, and they can still live their life, but they just have to be treated. It's just like diabetes and cancer or other diseases and illnesses.
Do we have a name for the book, and will it be written in memory of your late wife?
Yes, and the title of the book will be called My Miracle, How the Power of Prayer Saved My Life. And yes, it certainly will be dedicated to my late wife, Deborah.
Very good.
And we're hoping it'll be out. I'm working real hard at it to hopefully get it out by September, which is National Suicide Prevention Month.
Oh, make a great Christmas present, too. We're learning a great deal from Michael J. Bellani, one of the top public relations people in upstate New York. And again, this program is dedicated in memory of his late wife, Deborah Ann Bellani, who did a lot for charity, those in need, and a top accountant in West New York working with charitable institutions. If you're listening in South Buffalo or Toronto or Northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200. Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners, as we have received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. Little plug here, West New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available many Tops and Wegman stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, former State Senator George Maziarz, world-famous author Lawrence Lehmer, who is now coming out with a new book on Warhol's Muses about Andy Warhol, and also Magdalena Swierczewski. Coming up, we're going to have Mo Nalon, an insurance executive on this program, and Representative Mike Lawler, who's being considered a front runner for governor of New York State. A little bit more information about Michael J. Bellani. On September 17, 1992, a drunk driver traveling at 60 miles an hour on the back roads of Point Abano, Canada, struck Mike from behind while he was riding his 10-speed bike. By the grace of God, he was wearing a bike helmet, which saved his life. He credits prayer and God's intervention for transporting him from the side of the Point Abano Road and surviving this near-fatal accident because the amazing medical professionals across the Peace Bridge in the Erie County Medical Center Trauma Unit. Our guest today, Michael J. Bellani. You are well known as a former general manager of the Buffalo Bisons when the downtown park opened in 88. Let's talk a little bit about that experience. What do you remember being the GM of the Bisons?
Oh, Brian, that was a lot of fun. I give Bob Rich Jr. and his family and the company, Rich Products, a tremendous amount of gratitude for saving professional baseball in Buffalo in 1983 when then Mayor Jimmy Griffin, who brought baseball back here in 79 and had it as a community-run team, it was basically ran out of money. And if they didn't find a local owner in 4 days, it would have been sold to an out-of-town owner who would have moved the team out of here, and we would have no longer had professional baseball here in Buffalo. And what Bob did immediately, I broke the story. I was writing for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle at the time. And after he purchased the team, he made me an offer, and I joined him way back at War Memorial Stadium. And I think the success of that first year was due to another Bob, Robert Redford, who came here and they filmed the movie The Natural. And that started bringing people back because no one really wanted to go to that neighborhood and, you know, watch baseball, much less any sporting event. So the success of Bison baseball was really due to the foresight and the goal setting of Bob Jr. I'll never forget the very first meeting we had. He set three immediate goals, and that is to get the Bisons from Class AA, which is two levels below Major League Baseball, back to AAA baseball, where it had been for like 90-some years in the International League, to then work with Jimmy Griffin, the mayor, to get a new stadium built downtown, and then to bring Major League Baseball here to Buffalo. And in a book that I helped publish called The Seasons of Buffalo Baseball, 1857 to 2020, in a little bio on Bob, we said that he went 2-for-3 on those goals in that he didn't obtain the Major League team. Well, we're literally on the presses and had to stop the presses and rewrite that because it was the year 2021 when COVID hit and the Toronto Blue Jays came to Buffalo. So Major League Baseball did come here and was played at what is now Salem Field. But, yeah, those were great times, and I'll be there this Friday, maybe with a winter coat and gloves on for the home opener.
Very good. Let's talk a little bit about you as a sports journalist. I've read your columns in the Grand Island Dispatch and Lewiston Sentinel, but you've had a career as a sports journalist. Tell us where you wrote and what some of your big stories were. Mike Bellani.
Well, ironically, after my freshman year of high school, I played youth baseball in the town of Tonawanda. And back then when we would turn in our scores, there was a box there with a box score sheet that you could fill out and the Tonawanda News would run it the next day. And I used to love keeping statistics and listen to Yankee games at night all the time. And the coach handed me the book and said, here, fill this out. So the next day, our box score, like a major league team, was in the paper, and the one sentence that they allowed us to write was there word for word. So I learned early on the power of the press. So the next game, I wrote two sentences, and since we won every game that year, by the middle of the season, I was writing paragraphs and quotes and headlines, and the editor called and wanted to know who wrote this, and I talked to him, and he offered me a job to be a high school correspondent for the Tonawanda News in 1970. I was 15 years old, and that started my career as a sports writer. Went to school for journalism, got a job when I was 19 at the Tonawanda News, a full-time sports writer, became the sports editor there, and then was recruited to the Courier-Express in the fall of 1977. And I was there until the paper closed in 1982, and you know, have some great memories. I mean, those were some, you know, fun times for you know, sports in Buffalo. But I enjoyed writing about the underdog and writing a lot about high school, you know, kids and teams. And even to this day, I have now the students that I wrote about would come up and tell me how the story that I wrote is in their scrapbook, and so that. You know, felt good.
Our guest today is Michael J. Bellani, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bellani Associates, specializing in communications, rainmaking, and publishing. Very gifted public relations artist in upstate New York. Again, this program is dedicated in loving memory of Deborah Ann Bellani, the late wife of Michael Bellani, who did so much for this community, and a very talented accountant. If you're listening in Amherst, New York, Montreal, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, the Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Again, we always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little bit more information about Michael J. Bellani. While the accident he endured has left him with a traumatic brain injury, Mike Bellani has made it his life's mission to use his God-given talents in working tirelessly to eradicate all stigmas associated with mental illness through a book he is currently writing, My Miracle, How the Power of Prayer Saved My Life. And I'd like to make a little tribute to Mike Bellani. I've been president of the Friendship Foundation of West New York, assisting the Restoration Society for 8 years. And Michael ran the most successful fundraiser we had in four decades. Normally, we'd raise a couple thousand, maybe 5,000 on a fundraiser. When Michael Bellani put his heart and soul into that, they raised $27,000 with 400 people at Salvatore's Grand Manor. So I salute what he did for mental health. He also was involved with this station and the five other sister stations here to have public service announcements about mental health and the important to give attention to this. Mike Bellani, let's talk about your career as a published author. You've written many books. What are the books? What were they about? Where can people buy them? Mike Bellani.
Well, the first book I did, and thank you for those comments, Brian, that working with that foundation, you know, you were chairman and invited me to that board. I was very... What they do for really the voiceless and for, you know, homeless and for those suffering is really remarkable. And today I'm the secretary of the board of another peer-based organization called Recovery Options Made Easy, Rome. And the peer-based, I think, is probably the way to go in treating those with, brain health issues, because it's, you know, they've been there. And it's like, a good friend of mine, Dr. Raul Vasquez, is advocating for more students of color to go into the medical field because, you know, patients want to be treated by someone that looks like them. You know, they understand them better. So that's what I really enjoyed about that time, you know, working for that foundation. I started writing, my first book that I did was a corporate biography on Bob Rich Sr., the founder of Rich Products, and probably one of the most brilliant business leaders I've ever met. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal businessman. I don't want to say a rags-to-riches story because, you know, he came from a little bit of business prominence, but he certainly made it his own, and he built it from scratch to what now it's a $6 billion privately held frozen food company. It's absolutely amazing. But the bottom line and the if you could bring it down to everyone's, you know, realization, it's they set goals and they worked toward those goals very simply and, you know, they achieved them. Then I helped Ron Zeller, another local business person, with his biography. And then in 2020, we published The Seasons of Buffalo Baseball, 1857 to 2020, and that's currently available at Amazon.com.
Very good. Now, somebody just tuned in. We're still trying to keep the memory of Deb Bellani alive, a wonderful woman. Gave a lot to her community, also as a business professional. If someone wants to make a donation to St. Luke's, how should it be made in her memory?
Just go to the website for St. Luke's Mission of Mercy. That's STLUKESMISSIONOFMERCY.org. St. Luke's Mission of Mercy.org. Hit donate now and in the comment section put Deb Bellani's Food Fund.
Good, good. We want to support her loving memory. Let's talk about the charitable involvement with Colvin Cleaners. They do so much for these kids around prom season, so the kids have high self-esteem. They're well-dressed for the prom. I think you're involved with winter coats also during the cold months. Let's talk about those charitable efforts with Colvin Cleaners.
Well, Brian, you know my brother Paul and his wife Cindy very well, and now we're proud to have their children, Christopher and Erica, the third generation in the cleaners. And I guess you could say the fourth generation is there because his seven-year-old son, Luca, you know, runs around with a broom in his hand cleaning up and that. But 17 years ago, well, really 24 years ago, they began, you know, with my mom and dad were there, Coach for Kids. You know, my mom just couldn't see kids, you know, who didn't have a coat, a winter coat. And so we had some, and we got others to donate. We cleaned them, and we got them out to a church you know, down on the Lower West Side and then the East Side, and then it started building, and that now has grown to the point that this year they gave away over 22 or 23,000 winter coats.
23,000.
Mm-hmm. And we used to have a place where they would go on a Saturday, but now we deliver them with racks to nonprofit agencies, churches, and over 100 of them in Western New York got those coats and gave them out to their constituents in need. 17 years, we're now in our 17th year of Gowns for Prom, and that is we collect gowns all year long, clean them, make minor repairs where needed, and then we used to, for about 15 years, have 3 days, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoons on the stage of Shays, which is a beautiful sight. You're looking out, you're seeing all the seats, and then the stage would be filled with racks of gowns. Students would come in, pick them, and then take the elevator up to the dressing rooms and be fitted. Our seamstresses would be there. It would be a wonderful experience. But we grew out of that. The line for the elevator was too long. We broke the elevator a couple times. It was, you know, but
okay.
We thank everyone at Shays. It was a wonderful experience. Last year we went to the convention center, and Jeff Calkin and the staff there were tremendously gracious, and we had the first floor banquet room, and we've outgrown that. So this year we're going up to the main convention floor, taking half of the convention floor. They'll build 50 dressing rooms, and we'll have racks that'll hold thousands of gowns. They'll all be by size. There's hundreds of volunteers.
I'm sorry we have to bring this to a close. We've learned so much from Michael J. Bellani, one of the top public relations people in upstate New York. And again, we dedicate this program in memory of Deborah Ann Bellani, a wonderful woman who passed at a much too young an age. Special thanks to Kevin Carr for the last 20 years, our director of production. And thank you for enlightening us about your brilliant career, Michael J. Bellani. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.